You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Meet the Rockets' new third baseman.
Welcome aboard, dude.
He can catch. And he can throw.
Cool.
But you don't want to let him babysit.
Should I call?
Sure, they're fine. What's the worst that could happen?
Blast into the kitchen's a rotten egg.
Universal Pictures presents...
Oh, bad monkey!
Matt LeBlanc. Ed. Rated PG. Starts Friday, March 15th at theaters everywhere.
We're talking baseball. Klazuski Campanella talking baseball. The man and Bobby Feller, the scooter, the barber and the nuke.
Hey everybody, we've got a very special crossover edition episode for you, depending on what show you're on at the moment. But we've done a few of these in the past. We're doing a nice little crossover between Revenge of the 90s and the California Penal League podcast, our sister baseball podcast that Fabs and me and Chris all do together. And Chris is here with us today, who's become a super guest of the show now.
I appreciate it, doing, guys.
You have expanded, too, beyond your baseball knowledge.
I have. I try to be a well-rounded individual.
Yeah, he's our James Bond aficionado, too.
That's true. Yeah, we do have some like specialists that come on. Like we've got Margie, our
garbage
Van Damme, garbage queen that comes on for Steven Seagal and Van Damme schlock.
Oh, man.
And then Chris is our baseball mind in addition to Bond. So today, you know, this is January. We're looking ahead a little bit to spring training, trying to get in the mood, the feel, the vibe out for baseball season. And we had a pretty good selection of 90s baseball stuff that we hadn't done yet. And we bypassed all of it.
And I wish we would have.
Not.
I really wish we would have chosen something else.
Well,
I'm going to blame myself, though, for this one, guys.
Yeah, Chris, was this you that suggested this one?
Well, Fabs, you threw this one out, like I said, 18 months ago, I feel. But I feel like it was a joke.
It was.
And I didn't recall that being a joke. In my mind, I was like, oh, Fabs wants to do this movie. And I was like, yeah, how about we do Ed?
Yes, we are doing 1996's Ed, which arguably is the worst movie we've done to this point.
Before we start,
definitely top five.
Before we really dive in, do you guys think that this movie and this movie alone torpedoed Matthew LeBlanc's movie career?
I think that might be the doubleheader of this and then Lost in Space 2 years later.
Yeah. Yes.
I think that probably did because
I didn't dislike Lost in Space. Like,
no,
it's not,
no, I have fond memories of that.
But it's like pretty solid.
It's okay. It's better than
this. I do want to shout out to Steve, I didn't know we were doing it. I forgot that was a thing we discussed like a month ago. So thank you for being like, hey guys, we're doing this tomorrow, right? And then I was like, oh yeah, of course.
Oh,
like,
dude, totally.
I'm so ready for it. I have the notes ready to go.
I love that you were like, you did text absolutely. And it was just good to know that you were like, oh shit. That actually does, you bring up a good point there, Chris. Because sometimes the crazy thing about like the Friends actors' filmographies is that like some are halfway decent. Like there are some decent movies in there. And, you know, Courtney Cox got Scream. Matthew Perry had a pretty good run there. But like when they're bad, they're like staggeringly
yeah,
bad.
I mean, it's like this and Leprechaun probably, right? You know, is like the bottom feeders.
Well, that the thing that Jennifer Aniston has with that.
I mean, that was pre
Friends. She made that before Friends. Yeah.
Like Matt LeBlanc.
That poor bastard got two seasons into Friends and they were like, here's a script for you.
But you know what? The one thing I was trying to figure out. So this came out in
96,
but like April or March of 96. So he was probably really only truly like a season into Friends when filming began.
That is fair. That
I was trying
to
find like when they started filming this, and I didn't look too hard, to be completely honest.
Yeah, I would not. I didn't hurt yourself looking into that one.
As we'll discuss.
Although I did see Matt Perry was also considered for this
he
role.
He was. Yeah, he was the alternate.
Yeah. And Adam Sandler, too.
He turned it down for Billy Madison. Yeah, this had the least amount of trivia of like any movie I've ever seen on IMDb.
Yeah,
there was like five facts, and they all ended with "we think."
Yeah, fact. No, Christmas in Connecticut might have the least amount. I think that had like
That movie was so wild. I can't believe we did that.
I know. I dug deep on that one, but yeah, I don't blame him for, taking a role because, you're talking about being 1 year. The one that really hurts is Lost in Space, because that's one where you're like, oh, I'm a huge TV star. Yeah. This is a brand name
action people star remember. Vehicle, for sure.
Right. It's I'm looking to make like a sci-fi blockbuster.
And I mean,
and
correct me if I'm wrong, but somebody along the way probably had to have thought, this could be a franchise.
Yes.
Potentially. No doubt. Yeah. Lost in Space is like, I mean,
you know, like there could have been show on Netflix movies.
Oh yeah. I didn't hate it. I don't
remember
hating it.
I have to go back and rewatch it because I do have fond memories of it. Like again, it was not great, but at the same time, like.
Look, all I know is you're not going to get me to hate a movie that has William Hurt in it. You're just not.
That's true.
So, like, nice try.
So even Marvel tried to do that for you. And you're like, no.
You know what?
He was good in that.
Right now, I'm looking at a bunch of just, like, 90s action movies. And I'm like, oh, where could Matt LeBlanc have, like, fit into this? And, like,
nowhere.
I can't find an answer anywhere. Because, like, it's very hard. Like, I love the show Episodes. And he does a great job in it, playing a like very exaggerated version of himself. I think that was like he more so than any of the other Friends was like so married to the character of Joey Tribbiani. I think it was super hard because that was like such a specific like archetype that it was everybody else like they had their things. Like Chandler was sarcastic, but you. Joey Tribbiani is such
well.
A character. Yeah, you could only see him as that probably for like such a long time.
And like you could, but Chandler, like that like sarcastic guy translates really well to like rom-coms and comedies.
I was going to say maybe if LeBlanc would have done some rom-coms, some more rom-coms instead of like action. Like if Ed would have
leaned. I don't know.
Not
also, I should probably
away, but if it would have leaned a little bit more into the romance angle, I think it could have done better.
Yeah, I mean, if he ever had the chance to expand, I also probably should mention I haven't mentioned Jennifer Aniston's filmography, which like became tremendous.
Oh yeah, it's great.
Eventually, so But that took a while. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if she's making too much during the initial like few seasons. I'm trying to think. I don't think she did, but no, you're right. I mean, it's interesting because yeah, everybody kind of got to like, everybody either got to break out of it a little bit, like Jennifer Aniston especially, or they could use like their version of that Friends type to translate well to the big screen. Whereas like Joey, it's like, well, you could be in a movie with like Adam Sandler, maybe you, and like, yeah, you could be like a goofball in that, but like, supporting, I could see him character in like a romantic comedy. He's a good dramatic actor. He just never really had much like of a chance to do it.
Yeah. Jennifer Aniston didn't really start going to like 99 with Office Space.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm trying,
yeah, I mean,
to,
she,
trying to,
yeah,
think of, like,
she was not,
she
a
broke,
film star for a while.
Yeah, that's 6 years in too. And after that it was Bruce Almighty. Like, I mean, she did stuff in between there, but like that was the next huge thing. That was 2003, which is like the very end. Along Came Polly.
Well, do you remember that movie The Good Girl?
I do remember that, yes.
That was the movie where I feel like everybody was like, oh shit.
Yes. Rumor has it was like a, where she was the lead, the breakup, 2006.
That was a good one.
Yeah. So like, that's when she, I think, really started just
hitting her stride.
I think she had some, she had some juice then. Cause it's, well, all post Friends then.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
And then she started leaning into that like really raunchy comedy. And I think people were like, okay, shit, this is cool. Like, she's very good at this.
Mm-hmm.
It was only an episode, but her character on 30 Rock, and maybe it's because I'm going back and rewatching 30 Rock right now, was hilarious.
Yes. I think that's where we, like, one of the first times we saw that super raunchy, like,
yeah, I was going to say, like, that she would get, that's kind of like, oh yeah, God, like, and even that wasn't too raunchy. It was,
no,
but,
still now,
you know, yeah, it was, yeah.
Well, she did make, she definitely made some crud in the 90s. Like, I'm like looking at like Picture Perfect.
Yeah.
It wasn't till great. Till there was you. Like, they tried. They definitely tried. But yeah, it wasn't really until, yeah, Office Space and yeah.
Yeah, that was probably the first movie that I would have to circle.
But yeah, so here we are with Ed. It's a pretty incredible. It's a pretty incredible movie because it definitely furthers the trend in the 90s of making weirdly, like, the most like intricate designed ape animatronics that you could ever put together from a special effects standpoint. Because you have this, where at first glance you're like, "Damn, is that a chimp?" And then it does something that's like way too human. And you're like, oh, okay, yeah, this is like a dude in a suit. And then they had like the mechanical head, mm-hmm, that was like really detailed and stuff. And you were like, it was kind of incredible. And it was a shame that it was like somebody, like, it's cool that, like, I love this movie because there were people that put like their heart and soul.
For sure. I'm all
into,
in on this.
Into making fucking Ed, the ape. And like, they were like, oh, so he's going to fart a bunch and like fart so hard he jumps off the couch? All right. But like, at least my life's work is up on screen. So they have the Ed. There was Amy the gorilla. In
Amy want green drop drink. Amy, good gorilla.
Amy, good girl. And you have that in Congo. And then there was another one that I totally forgot about, Born to be Wild.
Oh.
I love that movie. Yes.
There's another, that's like
there
a guy
Dunstan
in a gorilla
checks
suit.
In.
But was, yes, that
Dunstan
a real,
checks
that
in.
Was a real,
that was a real,
yeah,
that was real,
yeah, orangutan.
Yeah. You're just talking
might
about
your young.
Might've been another one.
The late 90s were really the heyday of, human, primate, buddy comedies.
Yeah, and just like putting like everything you have into making this like realistic ape. And I, like, honestly, with Ed, the reason I wouldn't give this like zero like a total zero is because it's kind of incredible to watch Ed do anything.
Yes.
Like, I mean, like, it's a little weird. It's like very uncanny valley, and I don't like it from that standpoint. It makes me really uneasy. Like, it makes me feel real weird, but it's pretty impressive.
Knowing that Ed wasn't like a real monkey, would you let that Ed creature give you a blowjob?
Dude, there's no doubt they use that mechanical head to like suck a dick.
Yeah.
That happens.
It's the first like, thing that really happened.
That some, especially like 3/4 of the way into filming, they were like so disenchanted with everything.
Yeah.
They were like, this is so fucking awful. I hate this. And like, it's like 3 a.m. And like one of the prop guys was like, what if? And yeah, no doubt.
I do.
100%.
I think you bring up a good point. Not the banging of the head, but the like, I love the idea for some of these terrible movies we do of like hundreds of people going home each and every day and telling their family like what scene did you shoot today? Oh, well, like Ed took the owner's son's like toupee off today and like wouldn't give it back to him. And like we had to do 20 takes of it, and it was like really frustrating. And just like this being a part of people's lives for like 6 to 9 months.
Gosh. Yeah, this is just like a bad job.
I don't know. Just like if you're at a job. First of all, I don't know how the filming shoot could last that long after watching it.
Yeah, this had to
be it really felt like it was like a college project. Like it was like,
yeah.
You got a week and a half to shoot this. Go.
Yeah, the one that really like would be painful and was the trivia that came was in that, you know, little cluster was that the mechanical head of the Ed was so loud that none of the audio they could really use. And so like the entire thing was like 80-yard. And so like what would be really hard to do would to be going into the booth knowing that this movie's a turd and having to record all of your lines again. So that way it would even be a passable film.
Oh, gosh.
That would be like hell on earth to have to do that. I couldn't imagine. Like, I mean, you're getting paid, so like whatever. And like Matt LeBlanc by that point might have been like, oh, Friends is like a giant hit. So like, sure, yeah, I'll take the, you know, $100,000 payday on it.
Right, exactly. Sure,
whatever. But I think that would be tough. That would make it like really, really hard. Because like at that point, the movie's done. They just don't have the passable audio. And you've got to like will yourself into like matching the performance.
Dude, yeah, again. You think you're done. You're ready to move on. He's like, thank God I'm back on the set of Friends. Oh my God, I have a week and a half of ADR I have to do.
It's just where I have to be like, so hey, don't fart so loud.
Right.
You know, like, stop holding your dick.
Well, do you think maybe that's why they used all the wonky sound effects?
Oh, dude.
That was driving like, me nuts. Yes. After
like, so bad.
Oh,
anytime the owner's son was on screen, there was some zany ass sound effect.
Yeah, yeah. It's like
you were watching like a cartoon come to life.
Yes,
it was the only thing I could think.
That's
of.
The thing. There's like kind of a decent movie floating around somewhere in here.
Oh, where no, like, yes, very much so.
There's something decent, like. In there somewhere.
There was a salvageable non-Razzie Award winning movie in there.
Yeah, but when you start like doing weird stuff, like making all the weirdo sound effects, doing like these bizarre, silly zooms, like, you know, having the monkey do really weird stuff and like, you know, it's like, oh, for some reason, Ed threw a ball so fast, it blew a hole through a guy's glove.
Oh,
it's just that like
that hurt my soul.
That's like Mighty Ducks level stuff. It's like I don't know.
Well, see, Mighty Ducks never even stooped to that level.
Oh yeah, did. They the one Bash Brother I think blew a hole through the net.
Yeah, I gotta go back and rewatch. Yeah. I gotta go back and rewatch that now.
Okay. He blew a hole through the the goalkeeper's glove.
Mighty Ducks 2?
Yeah, Mighty Ducks 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
Admittedly, I have not gone back to watch that in a while.
So I put a little list of my favorite 90s animal movies, Babe, Congo, Free Willy, Homeward Bound, Beethoven. Now, all of them have some elements of comedy, some way more so than others. But the thing I think Steve just said, like to articulate it further, is the thing that made these movies good was that people were the jokes, not the animal. The animal has to be like the straight man, has to be like the one that's like weirdly good at something, or okay, like that you're like, it's like your heart is with. And I mean, not that it's like not funny probably when you're a kid that like Ed is like lighting his farts on fire and like destroying an apartment with like a 7-year-old girl. But like Ed can't be doing that. Cooper, Matt LeBlanc's character, needs to be the dumb shit. And Ed needs the one to like be the one to get Coop good at pitching. Teach him how to throw a curveball.
Yeah, I thought that's
all that kind of stuff.
I thought that's what the plot was going to be. There were little pieces in it, but that's what I thought the movie would be. Would be that, oh, Ed's going to like inspire and teach Cooper how to pitch. But that wasn't even like, they were just like, oh, I don't know, they're suddenly good because the monkey's playing third base.
He's playing like, Gold Glove third base.
And has 1,000% on base
percentage. Yeah, because he gets to walk all the time.
Trust me, from a, now, you know, Barry from a Bonds baseball in 2004. Standpoint. Yeah, the on base of 750. The from a baseball standpoint, this movie is an atrocious,
so difficult
wreck.
It's an abomination. Oh my god!
I do love these movies. We had a little taste of it with The Fan, but I love these movies where it's like so clear that the people making it have never watched baseball.
Cut day.
Couldn't care less to even like.
Can we start with that? Can we start with "quote unquote cut day" in the middle of the season?
Yeah, cut week. Yeah,
I was so arbitrary. Confused. I thought I like blacked out for 20 minutes.
I was like, "Am I watching something different than I started watching? Like, what? Like, what's happening?"
Yeah, I love the arbitrary drama that they had to create, where they were like, "Well, we need something because like he's not playing super well, so we just make up this thing called cut week," where suddenly in the course of a minor league season, we're just gonna cut some guys for no reason whatsoever. And the other thing too, I was like, I wasn't sure. I was like, okay, well, going into this, maybe they are like an independent league team, because like I don't, you know, the Savannah Bananas should be doing this. They should have a chimp come run around on their field, like that should happen. But
give it time.
Very quickly, I can't believe they haven't. But now you. Right off the bat, you are saying in this movie that they're a Class A team. And so clearly, they're a minor league affiliate for a major league.
For the Dodgers.
For the Dodgers, which you learn later, because like Tommy Lasorda shows up, and who has no power to sign guys to the team.
On his way down the coast.
So, Matt LeBlanc's Cooper is this farm boy who's never played baseball at all, shows up to a random workout, throws 125 miles an hour.
another point of someone who doesn't know what they're talking about.
Has never watched a baseball game and assumes guys are throwing 300 mile an hour heat. He goes to like the low level minor leagues team for the Dodgers, which would happen. That makes tons of sense. He sucks ass there because he keeps trying to throw his curveball, which you don't know he throws 125 till later. It's like, dude, you have superhuman talent. Don't ever throw anything but the heat. No one will hit it.
That's like 9 miles per hour faster than Brendan Fraser's character from The Scout. And he threw a 27 strikeout perfect game for the Yankees.
and somehow guys are squaring up in low A.
Yeah.
Blasting home runs off his fastball.
Yeah.
Okay.
Though I also have to say, I know in IMDb did say that Matthew LeBlanc did work with, who was it? Mark McLemore or somebody like that.
Yeah, his buddy.
Yeah, to like make him look better. And I'm like, I just go back to Major League and the fact that Charlie Sheen played high school baseball and was a pitcher. So Charlie Sheen looks natural as a pitcher.
Yes.
There's some scenes where Matt LeBlanc is in the background, like throwing warm up, and he's like lobbing it in.
Right. Right. And it's just he's like, not actually.
Oh my gosh.
Or when he's doing any of his like training.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's doing like his wind up. It's like very much like an actor doing like a baseball wind up.
Yeah. They never show like a full, like wide shot of him throwing from the mound to home plate, like all the way through. It's always a super tight close up where you just see his face, like in him doing a pitching motion. Might see
the upper part of his torso.
Yeah, I mean, Costner was rocking it better in For Love of the Game.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But I, the thing that got me really like drove me nuts about this, purely from the baseball standpoint, was, you know, at some point in the, so allegedly Ed is Mickey Mantle's chin and he gets brought into the team to be their mascot, and the season's gone to hell or whatever and they stink, and the third baseman in a dumb scene like makes a bunch of errors, including letting a ball just like bonk him on the head where it's like plunk, and Ed wants to go in to play third base, and Jack Warden, the manager, Chubb, is just like, whatever, fine. And so now they've got the chimp playing third base, and then like you've got, and like they're starting to win, and it's like, oh, whoa, they're like pretty good. But you know, you'd have to assume that that guy who is the third baseman was like a prospect for the Dodgers. That's a prospect. And then you've got this whole dramatic situation where, like, the team's good. They're going to, like, the low A playoffs. Suddenly, the owner's son sells the chimp to another team.
Insane.
And your star pitcher goes on this rogue mission
all before,
to save him.
All before 1 before p.m. The game. All before 1 p.m.
And, like, if I'm, like, the farm director in the Dodgers, I'm like, what the fuck's happening down in Santa Rosa? Like, what is happening to my team?
So, like, so
what's the update today?
The best part
well, the owner's son sold the chimp, and our star pitcher who throws 125 miles an hour is like missing and like went on a mission to find him.
So I just love that whole scene, that whole selling of Ed to the other team, because leading up to that, he brings in the investors and you're like, oh, you know, he's going to hold on to Ed. You know, he's going to hold on to Ed, and Ed's going to be like this mascot, like slash player on the club. And then like 5 minutes later, he's like sold Ed for an undisclosed amount of money. Matthew LeBlanc is at the stadium.
It's like a team down the street.
Apparently so. Apparently so. Cause then Coop has to go to the other stadium to get his glove as he's telling the security guard, but he's actually breaking Ed out. And then Ed actually has escapes and then gets on the banana truck. And then there's that.
No, he almost freezes to death.
Almost freezes to death. He takes him to the hospital.
To the human hospital.
Yeah.
And then he gets back to the stadium in time before the 1 o'clock first pitch.
Oh my God.
I was like, this is, I know this isn't probably meant to be this thought provoking. And for anybody to, you know, dissect it this much, but I go, logistically, this isn't even possible. You know, like,
no, it's like people get it really confused where they're like, oh, the minor leagues are like silly and fun. It's like, yeah, but like, that's all outside of the actual game. These guys are all like these are like their livelihoods.
These guys are trying to
where
make
they're
it.
Trying to, yeah. Like if you told, like if I was the Jim Caviezel character and I got cut, and you kept Ed on the team, I would come back the next week and stab the manager in the heart with a knife. Like, I would kill him.
You wouldn't have gotten Passion of the Christ then. So
that's true.
Well, if the manager was a person of color, then he probably would have gotten it sooner.
True.
Like that Steve wouldn't just kill the monkey.
I'd kill the manager. The monkey didn't do anything. No, the monkey didn't do anything wrong. I like Ed. But if the manager's going to stare me in the face and tell me I'm cut, and the monkey...
Was he the only cut, by the way, too? Like, he was, like, apparently the only cut.
Yeah.
It's like, we're going to just cut one dude. Like, we're going to really make this guy feel really good about himself.
Do you know how hard it is to, like, let a guy go in the middle of a minor league season if he's not, like 29?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't really happen.
No.
The guy usually does it, like, willingly. A lot of the times it's those guys who just, like, retire.
It's like, hey, I'm 26 and I'm still playing single A. This isn't going to be the future for me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that could be it, but
there's just a lot that doesn't make sense. Just I know it's, again, we know it's a silly kids movie, but just when you're writing this movie, why is he selling Ed? Ed, that is the biggest profit machine that their local single A affiliate has ever seen. So unless they're giving you, like, millions of dollars, which I doubt they would have the money to do if it's another single A team, like, you're going to get your ass chewed out by your MLB affiliate, because they're going to be like, we would have brought in, like, Tommy Lasorda loves Ed. Like, we would have fucking brought him up here. Like, what are you guys doing?
Tommy, like, Lasorda loves Ed.
He did.
He's like, where's the monkey at? You're selling out every single game. He's good at third base. You pay him in bananas. Like, you don't even have to pay him a real contract.
No.
He can be in local commercials and ads.
Right. Why?
You can be his manager and just extort him if you're crummy down in LA and have him be the face of, like, minor league baseball or major league baseball if he's good enough.
He could have been the rally monkey before the rally monkey.
He could, yes.
Like 6 years before the rally monkey.
It just doesn't make any sense to, like, what the kid was like. I mean,
it's all contrived. It's all contrived drama in this. But that's the thing about, like, these other movies that you're talking about, Fabs. It's like the reason, like, Free Willy and Homeward Bound and Beethoven are all, like, far superior, like, kids animal movies from the 90s is because, like, they're not treated like they're not, like, dumbed down.
Right.
Where, you know, like, I just watched Beethoven with my kids and it's, like, good as hell. It's so good.
My kids were just turned onto that this weekend too.
Yeah.
It's on, like, Netflix all of a sudden. And, like, I was and it's, like, really funny because there's a scene where, like, the youngest daughter, like, falls in the pool, like, a mile away, but somehow Beethoven in, like, the backyard, like, knows and, like, breaks out of his cage and, like, saves her. But it's, like, very, like, heartfelt. And it's, like, it's not stupid. It's, like, there's, like, a fine line you walk, but, like, it's not dumbed down for kids where it's, like, I don't know, just, like, make Ed, like, fart a bunch.
Yeah.
Well, also, all those movies, Steve, like, there's real stakes for, like, the animal's survival. Like, Free Willy is about an animal that gets, like, captured and put into captivity and starts to die because he's being forced to, like, fucking perform, and he gets broken out and freed by this kid. Homeward Bound is about these three animals that, like, think they're owners, have accidentally abandoned them, and you think Shadow is dead because he was too old and he fell in the mine shaft. Like, you're sobbing as, like, he's limping, Peter, I made it. And then, like, Peter's running at Shadow and it's just amazing. And in Beethoven, there's the crazy vet guy who wants to, like, put Beethoven down. And you're like, oh my God, this is so scary. We have a player. It's actually a monkey. We don't know why they got it without a trainer. And he's going to, like, live and eat your food, eat your Hungry Man, like, dinners.
Oh, yeah. It's not even just, yeah, it's not just like, here's the monkey who's the mascot. He's your roommate now. You have to live with this ape. And there's nothing, there's no manual for it.
The other thing with this movie, there were just like so many different little storylines that kind of seemingly popped up out of nowhere. And like, oh, we're going to follow this little storyline right now. Oh, then the end gets sold. But there's this love thing going on here.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I wish they would have just like, and then like when they get Ed, by the way, too, Ed's not around for like 15 minutes after they like send him to go pick him off of the bus.
Yes.
They show like a bunch of games and Ed, the mascot, is nowhere to be found before he takes over third base. And I'm just like,
oh yeah. He's just sort of in the dugout at one point.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like, and, yeah, all of a sudden he's just like, oh, yeah, he's in the dugout of the game where the third baseman gets hurt.
Or no, oh, yeah, he gets bombed. Yeah,
of course he is for that
like,
one.
But, like, the two, three previous games that they show, he's nowhere to be found. But they've established that Matthew LeBlanc's character has gone and picked him up off the bus.
Why is he the mascot for the team, too? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. Like, there's and just, like,
what are you talking about? Like, Mickey Mantle's champ.
Yeah, like.
What?
There's just
Mickey Mantle did die in 95, so timeline wise it makes sense. But you know, still.
But there's
I was like such an idiot Googling. I was like, did Mickey Mantle own a chimp?
Right.
Like I actually had to like I was like, maybe. I mean
Yeah, Mickey
I don't know.
Famous
I mean chimpanzee I was on Reddit where people were arguing the rules of like animals having to be 17 years old as like a minimum requirement to play in minor league baseball. And it's so a chimp could do it because they live to be 40. Yeah. So like it could happen theoretically.
Well,
I guess.
Think like, I mean, I think that probably doesn't pertain though, because you know, like the one guy said, you know, there's nothing in the rule book that says, you know, that non homo sapiens can't play. And so that rule probably wouldn't apply necessarily. Because if you're talking, then if you're talking like dog years with Air Bud, who's to say? Because you know, they're you know, a chimp's going to be more mature at a certain age than you know, like a human would be. So it's not 1-to-1. So, look, if I'm watching a chimp throw from third base and blow a hole through my first baseman's glove, like that,
I'm not checking birth certificates.
No, absolutely not.
How much are you also paying to like see Ed start a minor league game and like legitimately play the entire game
and like play it well? Like, yeah, and play like literally like picking balls at third base.
Yeah, doing at bats, well, walking, I mean, running the bases. Like
it never looked like it was a sellout. You know, look like there were seats. Look like there were seats available. I mean, this was the 90s, so you have to think that Al Gore hadn't invented the internet yet. Or if he had, it was just for government purposes still.
It was 96. It might have gotten around. Word might have gotten
out. Yeah, I mean, Word definitely would have gotten around. I mean, you know, you have to figure that he would have been on SportsCenter and stuff like that.
He was national story. He was all over the magazines.
Oh, yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. Remember he was on Teen Beat and, yeah, all those other. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was weird. Right.
I mean, yeah, I'm paying.
So I mean,
$50 to $100.
Yeah, for sure. But
watch this monkey do this.
They definitely had tickets available, and like all those crowd shots, like they weren't packing the place.
I would like to know what garbage stadium they were playing at.
I was trying to find that. I couldn't find that.
I tried to as well.
Very clearly, like an old school minor league stadium.
Yeah, or like a junior college.
But that still tracks for the time that that movie was made.
It worked
because
yeah,
minor league was still very much viewed in a different light than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like you know, mid 90s was like the boom with Major League Baseball stadium construction. Go back and look at some of the stadiums in the 80s. I mean, we would scoff at those by today's standards. So, I mean, like, I didn't have that big of an issue with the movie or with the location of the field.
Oh, I didn't mind that. I was just curious
I was as well.
Because I like those old, decrepit minor league
stadiums.
Every
time I drive past Canton Akron, I'm always like, you used to
host
the
relic out there.
Minor league team.
Yeah, I do like seeing that. Like, I do like seeing nature taking over that stadium.
Same with Toledo. Toledo just demolished theirs, though.
Yeah, I can't believe the Canton one's still there. Perhaps most egregious is that everybody treats Ed like a human.
Yes.
Which is usually actually how a lot of people get their faces torn off in reality.
Yeah, yes.
It really is.
And after seeing Nope, I have a totally different, like, view of movies where, or anytime, like, people interact with apes and, like, people try to, like, humanize them and, like, dress them up in diapers and stuff like that. I have a real Gordy's Home thing going on. And I was waiting. It's like there were times where I was waiting for that to happen with like an ump or something. But the most like egregious thing that happens is like the downstairs neighbor at the apartment where Coop and Ed live. And Coop's apartment's just a fucking atrocious mess, just, by the way. It's so, and he like buys dog food for Ed. Like, Ed should have killed him.
Ed should have murdered his face off.
I'm surprised that he didn't, actually.
He should have. Especially, like, makes him sleep outside and stuff. Like, Ed abuses him. Or Cooper abuses him. So, totally should have been killed. But the downstairs neighbor's, like, this hot chick and her daughter. And, like, she's, like, the daughter's, like, the niece of the announcer.
Jerry from
Jerry. Yeah. That's correct. You said you did mention this was a bad cast, but hey, man, it has Jerry and Scott Farkas.
It's like the worst cast we've ever had on the whole. It's like Matt LeBlanc, Jim Caviezel, Bill Cobbs, the head coach at Air Bud, Gene Ross, and Jack Warden. And if you have to Google almost all those names, I don't blame you.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, it's grim. Like, there isn't, like, Jim Caviezel, you could have been like, there was like this path at one point where you were like, oh, Jim Caviezel. Wow.
Yeah.
He's after Superman. Passion of the Christ, he didn't lose his mind and made normal movies. Like, if he had not gone down the rabbit hole and become like, I don't know, a Daily Wire star, then, then yeah, it could have been thinking of it a different way. But like, yeah, no, I mean, if it wasn't for Matt LeBlanc's TV career, this movie would like,
there'd be no reason for it to be remembered.
It would be like even further down, yes, like in the archives, because the only thing that really makes it worth checking out, like any of the bad, like the bad Friends cast 90s movies are really interesting to me. Because it's like very clear that nobody knew how to use them. And like Matt LeBlanc's not terrible in this.
What's your Mount Rushmore of bad Friends movies?
6 days, seven nights, definitely on there.
Dude, I actually think, I don't know if people would say it's bad, but Fools Rush In.
Okay.
I like it. I like Selma
Hayek. That movie's so good.
I mean, Selma Hayek.
I mean, that's a redeeming
quality
of
that, yes.
But he's good in it. I like him a lot in that. Fools Rush In might be on it. Maybe Lost in Space.
Definitely.
Or we can give Matt LeBlanc two spots on the Mount Rushmore. Oof.
Dude, he's made some bad movies.
Movies are not his thing. He's made
some real shit.
I think if there's nothing else to be taken away, movies are not Matt LeBlanc's thing.
Courtney Cox is like super solid.
Yeah.
She just like got real, not lucky, but like Scream took off and she's like, I'm just going to be in this.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like she does shows.
Schumer doesn't
she's had
any
a couple good
movies.
Shows, but like she just shows up.
He starts directing, so he had like a pretty good.
But like he's a star in them. At least I'm saying.
Right. Lisa Kudrow, man, she did Romeo and Michelle's like during Friends time, so she did good.
That's legitimately good though. Yeah. Are we going to talk?
Easy A was
bad movies?
Easy A. She was good in Easy A. I thought
she was.
We should do if we got to do both. We got to do the best Mount Rushmore for Friends. We got to do the The nightmares. So, but anyway, which we should do, but the most egregious thing was, anyway, he gets with this chick and Cooper does, and he goes on a date with her to a carnival. And they inexplicably leave the like 7-year-old girl at home to be babysat by Ed. And the mom is like, I don't know, should I do this? And Matt LeBlanc's so, he's only seeing vagina at that point.
Yeah.
And he's like, just leave her. It's fine.
It doesn't matter. She'll be She'll be okay. What could they get into?
I got a big bag of dog food.
Dog food and Hungry Man's.
Yeah, and I do like that you brought up the Yakety Sax.
Oh, God.
The Yakety Sax montage where, you know, Ed's trying on silly clothes and they're eating too much popcorn.
Doesn't she say something along the lines of like, my grandma was crazy? Like when she opens up the chest,
like some like,
something along those. I was like, oh,
some like silver high heels or something like that.
They do the, they do the cut where like they cook popcorn and it inexplicably just doesn't stop popping.
That's like a Freddy Krueger thing where like you'd expect like in a dream sequence, like the popcorn to just keep coming. And then all of a sudden like Freddy like hand pops out of it and like drags you in, which would be cool.
Yeah. You end up like in like a movie scenario. Theater. Yeah. You have to fight him. It'd be awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, Ed is, it's very weird in this because Ed at some points the person who's in the suit is really, really good and like acts like an ape. But like a lot of the time they're like, Ed has to also act human.
Yeah.
And it's just really weird.
It is.
That you would like go
it
that
is jarring. Route.
The drive of this movie is so bizarre. And oh, remember when Ed drives, first of all, Matt LeBlanc's going to try and drive drunk.
Yeah.
Like he's shit faced and he's gonna try and drive and he passes out and he gives the keys to Ed finally and then Ed drives like 300 miles an hour.
That was a fever dream sequence that
that's an interesting kid's choice to make in a kid's movie to be like, hey, this guy almost drove drunk.
My whole thing was like, I wish they would have just, if my one criticism is, I wish they would have picked like two storylines to like really kind of dive into.
For sure.
Instead, they were like, oh, we have like 10 different ideas. Like we have to have like Coop get drunk and Ed drive him home. And then Ed has to set him up with his downstairs neighbor. And then the little girl and Ed are great friends. And there's all this, you know, drama with the baseball team. And it's like, no, pick like two things and focus on that. I think had they done that, it would have been, it wouldn't have gotten a 6% on Rotten Tomatoes. I'll say that.
Yeah. And the key is, you know, the animal is supposed to teach you something about yourself.
Yeah.
That you didn't know.
And that kind of seems like
why you needed them. And they just didn't do that at all.
Like they were definitely setting that up. And then they just like
the most baffling thing.
There was one
scene. The most baffling thing ever.
One scene of Ed helping him hone his craft.
Was that at the end with the curveball?
No. Well, there's that. There's that little callback.
Tire swing.
But there's like the tire swing.
Yeah.
But it's literally 20 seconds in the movie.
Yeah, I love that too. That the coaching staff must be total ass for this team because the only practicing going on is in the parking lot of the apartment complex.
Dude,
well, they tried to have a practice. Maybe they tried to have a practice, but then we got too drunk. After Jim Caviezel got cut.
Yeah, and like, oh, there's the other storyline too that, you know, to go off of that is like, there's like this a-hole.
Oh, yeah, the a-hole relief pitcher.
You know, he's like, I'm going to the show. And he's like the top prospect guy who's like a weird dick every now and then.
Yeah, like, he pops in and out, and you're just like,
who's this guy?
I like that. It's like the Coop is very much a throwback to Cy Young, where he's starting seemingly every game for this team too,
and pitching a complete game every time. Yeah. Like again,
and he's maintaining that 100 plus mile an hour fastball through 9 innings.
Yes,
that's where, like, if you're the Dodgers, you wake up, you're like, you know, you're up in Los Angeles, and you're like, hey, give me a rundown of what's going on with the farm teams. And they're like, well, you know that guy we just signed off the street who throws 125 miles an hour. Well, Chubb just made him throw a complete game. Yeah. He was still throwing. He threw 190 pitches and was still throwing 100 at that point.
That's amazing. Anything else happening down there? Well, that monkey mascot they bought, he's a starting third baseman now.
He's winning the ball game.
He's like, wait, you mean over that guy that we drafted in the second round?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, he's cut. He's gone. He didn't make it through cut week.
Oh, why did we have cut week halfway through the season?
We should really move cut week up.
Kind of defeats the entire purpose of this being a developmental system, but oh well. God. And very appropriately, this movie was nominated for many Razzies. It looks like it was nominated for 4 Razzies.
My favorite was Best Duo.
Yes.
Matt LeBlanc and
Ed. Yeah, like Best On-Screen Couple. There was some heat. There was some heat.
They lost all of them to striptease, though.
The striptease.
And barbed wire. Yes. Pamela Anderson beat them out.
That's a great movie.
We haven't done striptease. Striptease. So I think I've mentioned this before, but my parents or my grandparents owned a video rental store in the 90s. And so there were some movie posters and like VHS covers that just like were really formative to my youth. And either from like a terrifying standpoint or like from being like, what's that?
A developmentally standpoint.
Yes, exactly. What's that feeling? And I think I've talked about Dead Alive before as being one of the posters. Another one, because you were talking about like our favorite 90s animal movies. I wouldn't say this is a favorite, and I don't think I've ever seen it, but they had like the poster for Man's Best Friend, that like Lance Henriksen horror movie with like that like evil dog that has like a half robotic face. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it.
No, oh, I have seen that. I remember that VHS cover for sure. Yes.
And it's like horrifying. It's got like red eyes and like it's snarling. And I was definitely scared of that. But the other poster that I had seen that just really knocks your socks off when you're 10 is the striptease poster with Demi Moore.
Yes.
That's where it's at. I'll tell you that.
Yes, definitely. I mean, leering at that. And my parents are like, hey, what are you looking at? It's like,
nothing, yeah. Nothing at all.
That's like, you're in Blockbuster and like you're holding it and it's like that it's over.
Yeah, 5-0 goes west.
Yeah. So striptease is certainly burned into my mind. And I'd very much like to revisit that in a future episode.
I mean, it has a better cast.
Much better.
Yeah.
Like
it's not, dude, Robert Patrick. Let's
Ving Rhames, yes. Burt Reynolds. I mean.
Yeah. Robert Patrick, Rumor Willis is in it. Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah, I'm not usually a pretty big fan of the Razzies. I don't condone the vibe of that show.
Agreed.
But it's worth mentioning. Ed is one where I'm like, if there was ever, this is one of those movies where it's like, I'm pretty good. We all are. We're all pretty good at finding the silver lining in a giant hunk of turd. But like, this one's pretty, this is tough. And the worst part of it is that I started watching it like too long ago and I like got caught up watching the NFL playoffs. And my rental ran out, so I had to buy this twice.
Oh, no.
Dude.
Google's like, wait, we've seen a 200% increase on rentals of Ed over the last, 2 weeks. Should we, re-release this in theaters?
Holy shit, there have been 4 rentals.
Remake.
Let's remake this. I wouldn't be... Dude, remake it and make... what's his name, who played Caesar, be the motion capture.
Ed. Oh, I know what you're talking about. Why am I drawing a blank? Dude from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Andy Serkis.
Yeah, Andy Serkis. There you go. That was just a big brain fart, but on my part. But yeah, just have Andy Serkis do mocap. Dude,
oh my goodness.
Caesar and incredible. Make him be Ed.
$150 million budget for Ed.
Have Matt Reeves come back and make it like a weird continuation. Make it like
Ed becomes a manager or inherits
Ed
the
goes
team.
Back in he goes back in time. He goes back in time and has to like go, I don't know.
Speaking of right of
some wrong.
Speaking of prequel.
Yeah, like before. Well, yeah, you could.
Because they don't, he wasn't they don't fully. Just, they don't, you know, really elaborate on. They just, you know, say like, oh, he was Mickey Mantle's chimp.
So you're saying sometime before.
Like,
it's like sometime go, like, before back he before goes.
Mickey Mantle bought him.
Well, he'd have. I guess he could still have the skills.
Yeah.
Before he starts like his some, like,
roadside ape, attraction his ape army.
Yeah, his ape army. Yeah. He could do something like that.
I mean, this is actually just like becoming like the Planet of the Apes new movie.
Dude, actually, that would be a great Planet of the Apes movie. Would be that the apes that were around during that like new humans where Caesar was like, there's no reason we can't still like enjoy ourselves in our new ape kingdom. Or I guess actually in this new movie in the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, because like it's like many after, generations. Right? Yeah, it's like way after that, like they should have like I would hope and assume that this ape society would have like created like a baseball team
and there'd be recreational activities.
Oh, what if they do this? What if they do like in Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, they or in like a sequel, they do like the ballpark of the Planet of the Apes, and it's an ape team that brings in like a human mascot.
Oh, and the human, be amazing.
The human.
It's so just play. A reverse role the, reversal yeah, of Ed.
It's Ed. It's Ed, but like 500 years into the future.
Dude, I like the idea that like, I like the idea that in one of the new Planet of the Apes, they have their first class, like first ballot Hall of Famers, and Ed is one of them.
Ed Caesar.
That like it would be a cool yeah, it'd be a fun throwback that like on like the desk of one of like the ape leaders, there's this frame photo of like fucking Ed.
It's like a news like old, a newspaper like, clipping of Ed from this movie.
It's one of those old tobacco leaf cards.
Yeah. Well, at that point, yeah. it'd be more than that.
It would be like the Honus Wagner. Yeah. It's like, do you have an original Ed?
Oh, that'd be so great.
I would love that. God, I'd love that. Man, were there any Planet of the Apes movies in the 90s?
Yeah. No, that was like...
No, that was 2001. I don't think there was.
No, there weren't.
Otherwise, I think they were all... Wait, there was an unmade one in the 90s. Damn it.
There was an unmade Planet of the Apes in the 90s?
Apparently. Let's see. It goes... Damn, 1973. Yeah, it was way later than I thought. Damn, that stinks.
I love Paul Giamatti's Planet of the Apes story.
I love he's awesome on this Oscar trail because yeah. He's just like he's such a like cool. He's a character actor in a way where he's just and like he plays great roles and this is like the role of a lifetime, but he's like. Very much like a guy that also could get the weirdest roles of all time.
For sure. And he like wants those and he yeah. like
and he wants them.
Sci-fi yeah. and horror.
Yeah. Well, he's just like, I love the story.
I love the story of when he was like, yeah, my agent's like, you're going to be an ape and you're going to be in prosthetics. And he's like, yeah, awesome. Cool. And they're like,
make
no,
me but unrecognizable.
Like, but you're not going to be like, people aren't going to be like able to know who you are. He's like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, that was just awesome.
If you mess this up, I'm going to burn the agency to the ground.
Yeah, I'll kill you. That's such a fun story because it's so real and like it definitely like disarms everybody else at these round tables, like where like Bradley Cooper's talking about like the metaphysical like act of like a performance, and Paul Giamatti's like, I fucking loved being an orangutan.
Like, well, yeah, it's something that nobody else there would relate to too. They're like, oh, like we would never like cover our face in a way that like we
would. Yeah, they all like nervously laugh. Yeah.
Like, oh, Bradley Cooper
wouldn't stoop to becoming a raccoon for three Marvel or four, whatever, five Marvel movies. You know, I don't know. I don't know about him. I'm not sure about
The only guy I could see being like, yeah, that's tight, would be like maybe Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah. Well, he gets into some weird shit. Yeah. Johnny Depp.
That's
true. I'm going like outside of that. But yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Depp.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Depp.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's plenty of weirdos. Yeah.
Yeah. But
you don't typically
Marvel,
get to see him.
No, I get what you're saying.
You don't typically get to see them in Hollywood roundtables at like Oscar time. Usually it's like a very like stuffy, like, you know. Like last year where it was like we had just hear about Austin Butler becoming Elvis.
Yeah.
Endlessly,
and it's just like whatever. Turn it off for like 3 years, and it's like, why?
And no one,
like, what's wrong with you?
And yet, no one mentions Justin Long's transformation into an actual walrus.
Yeah,
that's true. That is true. That was some method acting.
That was.
I also like that that guy, whoever played Elvis in Priscilla. Everybody was like, "Oh, he's way better." Seems better adjusted.
Yeah, this is what Elvis actually sounded like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just love actors who like don't shy away from like weird roles or like a weird past in their filmography and stuff like that. Or a guy like Giamatti's like, I'll be the Rhino in Spider-Man.
For sure.
I don't care. Like, I mean, absolutely.
And I do like, I deeply respect, you know, if you're going to like really dedicate yourself to your craft and get into it, as long as you're not just like ruining everybody's lives with like your method acting. But I find it deeply funny when those actors lose out in a best like actor category to somebody who's like, yeah, they signed me like 2 weeks ago. And like, my favorite thing to do between takes was like to fart really loud to like calm everybody down. It's like, what?
Well, that was why I was like so friggin' bummed that Sandler wasn't nominated for an Oscar for Uncut Gems.
I know.
That was a travesty.
It was.
Because that was the epitome of what you're describing.
Yes.
Where it was like, I made Uncut Gems and then I went and made like Hubie Halloween.
Yes.
That was my follow-up.
That's very similar to Spielberg's 93 with Jurassic Park and Schindler's List.
Oh yeah, that's king shit. When you can do that, you're a god.
Yes,
where you're just like, I'm gonna go make the most like gripping, sad movie of all time, and I'll just like follow it up with like the best science fiction movie you've ever seen.
Yes,
and then I'll just do it again in like 5 years.
Right.
Oh, God. Ed is really terrible, but do you guys have anything else to add to this supremely accurate baseball movie?
No, other than I just really, like, again, I just want to, like, hammer home the point that at points throughout the movie, it's like, you're like, oh, I get what they're doing, and then they just abandon that little plot line for some little gimmick that doesn't pay off. And I really wish that there was like, I didn't stick around to watch the credits, and I'm sure there were editors, but like, was there no one had like the foresight to like edit this movie into like a concise, rational, you know, order of
you need
any
that
sort.
4 hour cut.
I want the 4 hour Snyder cut of this, you know.
Well, or either that, or you need like the, if it's going to be, you know, this movie was barely an hour and a half, and it seemingly had to pad it with like,
yeah, like there was so much that like could have been cut that like, I'm not going to say it would have made it like a great movie, but you're like, we wouldn't be talking about it in this vein, I guess is what I'm saying. Is like, it could have been a movie where it was like, oh, hey, remember Ed? And you're like, oh yeah, that was kind of fun. No, No one's having that conversation.
Yeah, it's not a like, oh yeah, me and my siblings, like, used to love that specific one.
So yeah, I don't know, this movie, like, it leaves you, like, the premise is kind of interesting, I guess, if nothing else, but execution was so
poor. It's silly.
Yeah, the premise is silly. It's feel but good. It doesn't mean, like, I mean, it is what it is.
It doesn't mean it's bad.
But yeah,
it's bad in its execution because it completely, like you said, Fabs, it completely gets it wrong in terms of what makes a good kids movie.
Yeah.
And what, like, you would do with a movie like this. It takes every possible wrong turn.
It's literally the perfect blueprint of, like, what not to do.
Pretty much. And there's why there's like 800 other ones. There's a reason why, like, there's 900 other pet movies you'd rather watch.
Yes.
And why, like, Air Bud has 600 sequels, but not Ed.
Yes. And, you know, we constantly talk about them not making the same types of movies now anymore. And it's unfortunate that they used to make in the 90s. But this is actually an example the other way, where it's like, I'm glad that, you know, budgets aren't wasted on something like this, where it's like just pretty much almost entirely garbage, a couple redeeming parts, where there's just so much better stuff in this exact weird specific animal sports human live action genre. So there's other options.
Surprisingly robust.
Yes.
Library of animal centric sports movies.
Yes.
You can get your kicks somewhere else. I believe Air Bud plays baseball at one point, right?
I'm pretty sure Air Bud does everything.
Yes. Air Bud, seventh inning stretch.
Fetch.
Yeah.
What year did that come out?
2002, unfortunately. Oh, yeah. Oh.
There's another good Air Bud type movie. I can't remember what it's called, where the dad plays for the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd be curious if you could put together a team of just pets that have played baseball in movies.
Oh, probably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What was that? Could put that together for the beginning of the season.
Yeah. What was that Korean movie you were talking about a couple of years ago?
Mr. Go? Or
Mr. Go. That's right.
Oh my God, we got to do that. I can't wait to do that one still. That gorilla that plays
baseball.
Baseball, Korean baseball. Yes. That's true. Oh man. Yeah. All right. Very good. Okay, I think that's it for Ed. I don't know, Fabs, do you have anything else on Ed?
No. Yeah, no.
No, absolutely not. We've almost spent the entirety of the movie. Yeah, I was going to say, we've basically gone like, that's more than an,
like,
more
we could have read the script at this point and just been like, what the fuck are they trying to do here?
I'm not so sure they had one. I think they spent, there was like $32 million budget. I'm pretty sure 30 of it was spent on the animatronic head for the ape,
and they were like, and then another,
we should probably make a movie out of this.
Another half a million to LeBlanc.
And probably some lawsuit money set aside for when that guy used the mechanical head to get a blowjob out of it.
As I mentioned, any, you know, marketing.
Bit his dick off,
you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a tough one where it's like, hey, it's Matt LeBlanc from the hit new show Friends. Come see him in this. Yeah, the movie poster, it's actually pretty good.
It's not a bad poster. You know, the one thing, I'll say this too before.
He gets top billing, man. Matt LeBlanc's name is way up the top, right?
I was trying to go back, let's reset. Let's try to put ourselves back into 96. Of that cast, like, he's probably the biggest name at that point in time too.
He's definitely the biggest name, and he's on a show that people were watching. He's
fresh off of like the first season and a half of Friends. So yeah, I mean, the one thing I didn't watch any trailers, which I guess I should have.
Yeah, those are probably pretty wild.
I can only imagine.
This is a really good example of a relic of like a bygone era where like that's how it worked was. The only like people who did TV like wanted to go do movies. And the only like path to that was theatrical. Like, and you didn't know until you put it out, like how it would be received or how it would do. That was the only path. And TV at that point was like, it was like, yeah, I'm a TV actor, but like, I want to do movies. And that's how I become a star.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. There wasn't this crossover so, like we see now. That's for sure.
Or like this movie would like go on Netflix and like everyone would be like, wow, that sucked. But like, no, it wouldn't, like nobody would care.
Yeah.
Because like 400 other things would come out.
It would get that hype for that weekend. That it came out, people would watch it that weekend and then they'd forget about it.
Yeah. So it was harder then. Oh, so I give like a lot of these guys credit, you know, for
it putting, definitely was hard to extend your career. If you had like one or two box office failures, it was just like, well, I guess I'm just going to be in like this other medium for like my entire career.
Yeah.
And that now, was the thing. Yeah, like, you it were doesn't the matter. Biggest... It's like, oh yeah, three of my streaming movies failed. Doesn't matter. I'm in two more next week.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. I like, you were on the biggest friggin' sitcom and you couldn't get movie roles.
Right. It's crazy.
Like, that's insane. Like, even though you had a couple bad ones, nobody was calling you.
Also, there's probably a little bit of like, who really wants to work when you're getting a million an episode for 22 episodes? It's just like, I'm good.
Yeah, that's true. Working like half the year.
Yeah.
It's a dream.
That's true. It's a dream.
I agree. All right. Well, that's it for Ed. Cannot in good conscience recommend that you watch this. It's a pretty atrocious. Watch maybe the trailer and maybe a couple scenes on YouTube if you can handle it. And, go from there. But other than that, you know the deal. You can, for Revenge of the 90s, or California Penal League, rate, review, subscribe. That's how we get our rocks off and all that good stuff. Much like the guy with the mechanical ape head. And other than that, we will catch you guys later. The scooter, the barber, and the duke. They know them all from Boston to Dubuque. Especially Willie, Mickey, and the Duke. My old friend, the bachelor, well, he swore.